Listeners, you are tuned into the 3CR Gardening Show. We are live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show at Carlton Gardens this morning. It's Chloe Foster and John Arnott here. We must welcome our next panellist to the show, Susanna Kennett-Lister, garden designer. You were on a couple of years ago. Susanna, again, you've been involved in the Royal Botanic Gardens and Wurundjeri Council collaboration garden. This is the third year that it's been
happening? This is our third year, yes.
Yeah. Have you been involved in each year?
Since the beginning,
since
yes.
Since the beginning.
This is my fourth Mifkus and my third Indigenous garden. So I am deep in it.
You're a seasoned campaigner.
I am seasoned. Tell us about the garden this year.
Sure. So this year we have developed the idea around Bolan Bolan Billabong, which for those listening that may not know is a billabong in Baleen. It's actually the source of Baleen's name, Bolan Bolan.
Really? Oh,
it's a really
lovely.
Yeah, it's a really significant place for Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people and many other clans of the Kulin Nation. It's been a gathering place for them for a very, very, very long time. It's an extremely resource-rich natural place. And when we were discussing what we might focus on this year, the idea of gathering places came up, and it felt like a really nice confluence given that the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show brings more than 100,000 people, and that's a very big gathering.
The Fig in and of itself is a gathering.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, the site that we're at Mifkus in Carlton Gardens is a really significant place as well for the Aboriginal community.
Yeah.
It's been a place of gathering and protest for very, very, very long time.
Decades.
Well, especially from like the 1920s, but even when the exhibition building was being built, there was a gathering to protest the building of that of the exhibition building on this site, because this has been a significant place for Aboriginal people too for far longer than Europeans have been
here. So there's a spirit of place.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. So it's a really... We thought that Bolan Bolan Billabong, which is an area that is kind of being quite heavily impacted by the construction of the Northeast Link, so it's a gathering place that's kind of worthy of our attention at this moment, and it's in a place of gathering for both the Aboriginal community in terms of its position near Gertrude Street and Mifkus, that she's bringing all these people together.
So lots of layers of layers of that placemaking.
Yeah, we're working hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you capture the essence of a Yarra Flats billabong on the scale of a show garden at Mifkus?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting challenge. Designing this garden, we are always balancing the kind of need to create something that feels of country and gentle and
authentic,
and kind of drawing on all of the plants we use are Indigenous plants to the area. This year, we've kind of got a slightly simpler plant palette. Last year, I think we had over 100 plant species in the garden. And this year, we've kind of really pared it back. We've kind of gone for things that people will recognise.
Okay.
Plant species that people can get quite easily.
Okay.
And in terms of replicating and kind of evoking the billabong in this space, obviously the use of water is really important, and using it in a way that's at ground level.
Yep.
Something you can walk right up to. Which was a kind of technical challenge. The way that the garden is constructed is a little bit smoke and mirrors, but we've managed to kind of hide the way that we built that billabong so that people and visitors can walk right up to the edge of it.
Can we go behind the smoke and mirrors?
Yes, if you'd like to know.
Yeah.
So the construction of our garden is actually extremely simple, and it's the same method that we've used the last 3 years.
Okay.
So we're very fortunate to have Shapescaper supporting us. So their steel edging acts as the kind of boundary for our garden.
Okay.
And when it comes to creating the billabong, we use a higher profile of their steel edging, and we've simply rolled a pond liner over the top of that edging, and it creates just a very gentle shallow pool. We've created a bit more depth in that pool by putting a whole lot of eucalyptus leaves and mulch in there to get the tannins in, so we get that natural colour.
Very clever.
It's worked really well. We weren't sure it was going to work.
Yeah.
Because of, I mean, this is World Heritage listed garden. You can't dig into the ground?
No, we cannot break ground at all.
No.
We are allowed to put a few stakes in the ground to make the edging sit up, but that's very, very low impact. And we have to be really careful given where we are situated under that really significant fig tree. So we don't do any construction works underneath the tree protection zone of that tree.
Yeah.
So the only interventions we make is just putting a few stakes in the ground for the edging.
Wow.
Am I right to say that prior to the collaboration that we're talking about here, that there was no small First Nations footprint at Mifkis?
Very, very small. I think maybe in Mifkis's past there had been a couple of stands and things that focused on Indigenous planting, but nothing that had the representation and input of First Nations and traditional owners.
The co-design.
The co-design element, yeah. So the Wurundjeri elders and representatives that we work with, nobody had ever been involved with the show in that way before. So this is a really big shift.
It's pretty special.
It's awesome.
Good on you.
Long overdue.
Yeah,
for sure. The welcome to country ceremonies that have occurred in that garden, probably in the 3 years that
each year we've had one.
They're really beautiful ceremonies.
Yeah, and we were super lucky. The last 2 years, we've been really lucky to have Uncle Bill Nicholson, who was also involved in the design of the garden this year.
Beautiful.
He's unfortunately wasn't able to be with us for the show, but he was really instrumental in sharing a bit of the knowledge around Bolin Bolin and Lyrebird, which also features in our garden.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other elders that have been part of the process have been through the garden in previous years, and this year coming through to see the way that it's been evolving. And this year we were all so thrilled to have Kathleen and Michaela and Charmaine from the Jiri Jiri Dancers come and open the show for us and welcome us to country, and it was sublime. It was really, really wonderful.
Little goosebumps just thinking about that. That's wonderful. So that co-design, what was the process what did that look like?
Yeah, okay. So it's been developing now over 3 years, so we're really fortunate to have that ongoing relationship and trust. And generally the way the process works is that the first year the elders put forward the idea of having a garden that introduced people to the idea of Wurundjeri country and the scope of it.
Yep.
So we represented three different plant communities from across the breadth of Wurundjeri country.
Yep.
And then one of the things that came up as we were kind of debriefing about the success of the first garden, we thought, well, like, what did we miss? What did we not kind of draw out? And that year, the next thing became water country, which is super significant to Wurundjeri people. And then this year, there was that conversation about, okay, so what can we build on now? So we've talked about water country, we've talked about the scope, and the elders were kind of talking, the representatives were talking about what it feels like to be on country and the sensory elements of it and significant places within that water country, and that's how Bolin Bolin came up. So it is really just a conversation, ultimately, the co-design process, is that we get in the room, we start talking about the experiences that we've had, and then other things come up in conversation, stories, history, cultural, like plants that are significantly like embedded in cultural practice.
Yeah.
And then we think, okay, how can we represent that? And then the kind of landscape design team, which is myself, Andrew Laidlaw, Jacoby, who's one of the Aboriginal learning guides at the Botanic Gardens,
really
is
nice.
A huge part of the project this year as well.
Wonderful.
And also Harrison and Maria from Petrichor Collaborative, who came on board this year. So we would kind of all go away and we synthesize that feedback and those ideas, and then we put something on paper and we come back to the group and we say, what do you think about this? And they say, okay, that's great. What about, can we have a seating area here? And we just start throwing things back and forth, and then it kind of evolves.
Co-design.
Yeah.
Co-design.
It's really open and really, it flows really quickly and freely, which is beautiful.
How does your, outside of doing the show gardens here, how does all this sort of feed into your design practice?
It's a great question, and I actually spoke in the garden about the way that my design practice has evolved over the last couple of years and the way that it's influenced my thinking. And I think a really big part of it is I have learnt to decenter myself in the design process.
Put the ego aside.
I like to think I was never too egotistical about it all. But I kind of prioritize everything else around me and where I sit within that. And I try and do that for my clients as well, and learn how to balance the practical needs that you have in gardens and living within them, but do it in a way that lifts everything else up around you and kind of to your level. And I found that the thing that drives me is I look for gaps in my environment. Okay, I don't have enough small birds. I don't have, you know, the invertebrate levels aren't where I want them to be. What do I do? And I don't come to garden design so much from a purely aesthetic place anymore, which I think maybe I did as a younger designer.
Yeah, okay.
I'm now thinking about the kind of holistic systems that I can create. And the aesthetic stuff comes with it. I'm still me. I still have my preferences. I still have my kind of design drive.
Style.
Yeah, yeah. I still have my style. But that is like the aesthetic expression is a product of my action in the garden.
Yeah.
Do you think Miscus get visitors becoming more open to displays having layers of ecology and layers of biodiversity and layers of culture?
I definitely
beyond
think
the beyond straight ornamentation.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, it's certainly. I mean, maybe it's because I'm embedded in my garden. I hear what people say when they come through.
And that's your jam.
And that's my jam. But I think absolutely people are really responding to that. And even if it's not kind of cerebral, you can see it when people walk into the garden and the way their bodies kind of relax and the fact that they sit down and they stay there. Like, I've kind of gone for walks and come back an hour later and the same people are still sitting in the garden.
Oh, that's nice.
And people walk through and say, oh, this is so energizing. And I think people, even if they don't think about it in, like, really literal terms, they're feeling it.
I mean, that's got to be the biggest endorsement that you could have with all of this hubbub and stuff to look at. People are stopping and dwelling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. I've kind of felt, even for the last 3 years, that our little pocket up there under the fig tree is a place of respite, and it's a place that people really want to sit and engage with what we've put before them.
Mm.
And it's a really beautiful thing to see.
Mm.
I've really liked it. It is a bit of, it's sort of a place that you know that there's, that garden's going to be there now. Is there plans to continue this into the future?
There's certainly no plans to stop.
Good.
That was such a diplomatic answer.
Well played. I think everybody, like the show, Wurundjeri Woiwurrung Aboriginal Heritage Corporation, the Botanic Gardens, everybody loves what's happening here and the way that the garden is developing. We had the program this year, which is the really, really exciting element, which is the first time we've managed to kind of activate the space in this way. And we're really kind of feeding off the energy of that. I can't promise I'll be involved.
What was the program?
The program, yeah. So I should mention it because we've got another day of programming left to go.
Yeah.
So a huge part of this year's gathering kind of theme and idea is that we wanted to bring people in and offer a direct kind of exchange of ideas and culture. So from Wednesday to Friday, we had Tully, who's one of the educators with Wurundjeri Woiwurrung, in running sessions on culture and plants and ecology and history with people within the garden. There were early years sessions, and there were sessions open to everybody. And then we've also had chats about design of the garden and storytelling. And today, I think David Wong, who makes our beautiful bird sculptures, is going to be speaking.
I was going to ask about those.
Yeah.
That seems to be a little bit of a signature of the...
They're
umbrellas?
Yes, they're recycled umbrellas and also natural materials worked in. So David first designed the umbrella wa, which is the Wurundjeri word for crow, who are the protector of Wurundjeri country and people.
Yep.
He first designed those in our first garden in 2024, and the elders just loved them.
How nice.
They have so much personality, and it was such a draw card for people coming through the show as well. So when we said, okay, we're going to do another garden, the elders were like, will the wah be there? And so David's also kind of been making a different bird. So last year we had white-faced herons, and this year we have bulan bulan, which is the lyrebird.
Mm. And eels.
And eels, of course. I shouldn't forget our short-finned eels, or eok is the Wurundjeri word for short-finned eel. Those guys are made of pool noodles. And they've got a special sleeve to get them the right colour. And little flywire fins.
Beyond the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, absolutely. You've heard it all here.
It's about Indigenous culture, it's about people, but it's, you know, about Indigenous plants. Sourcing that material, was that a challenge?
Yeah, so we're very lucky to have Jack Dewhurst, who's a horticulturalist with the Royal Botanic Gardens. He's been involved in the garden all 3 years.
Okay.
He looks after their Long Island collection. He has done the bulk of the plant sourcing for the past few years. This year, I think a huge relief for him was that we managed to get most of our plant material from just two or three nurseries. I think last year we pulled from about 10.
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge job. Mm. And we're really lucky to have nurseries come on board. Regen nurseries have been huge, Australian ecosystems. And
for a lot of the grasses and the tough
for the grasses, stuff, yeah, some of the smaller and the tube stock, but also some gardenia, lamandras. What else have we got in there? The trees come from tall trees this year. We've had different tree suppliers in the past. These ones are a really good size. They're easy to kind of take the labour out of it a little bit. We can move them around. What else have we got? Regen, yeah, I mentioned Knoxbrook Nursery and the Narrup Rangers have supplied some of the special stuff like the chocolate lilies.
And you mentioned petrichor.
Yes.
Which is the smell of rain.
It is. So petrichor collaborative are a group of architects, landscape architects and researchers. So Harris and Maria and Jacoby have been the members most involved with the garden this year. And they've brought a really wonderful element of... that really kind of grounded research and kind of blending that in with the design of the garden. And they ran a really beautiful workshop yesterday, which was about kind of envisaging the space as it was and potentially as it will be.
How lovely. Yeah. For Radiothon, Chloe found a button that was applause.
Yeah.
we actually needed to just
we
press,
need the buttons
the
today.
Press the applause button. Because hats off.
Thank you so much.
To the collaboration.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks for coming in this morning.
Hope it continues. And we hope that culture and country and Indigenous flora is spread a little bit further.
Me too.
Throughout the show in the coming years.
It feels like it's embedding.
Absolutely.
Yep. Let's make it embedded.
Yeah.
We'll do our very best. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on to Bright and Early.
Pleasure.
That was Susanna Kennett-Lister, everyone involved in the Wurundjeri Council and Royal Botanic Gardens Victoria garden, show garden collaboration. This is the 3CR Gardening Show. We are live from the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show at Carlton Gardens this morning. It's Chloe Foster, did I say my name? With John Arnott.
With John Arnott, yeah.
With John Arnott.
Yeah.